I'm happy to welcome Emma Carlson Byrne back to the studio tonight. She's one of our fine own Cincinnati authors, and we've talked before about her novel for young adults titled Still Waters. She's with us now to talk about her latest novel, which is Never Let You Go. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Good to see you. Most of the action in Never Let You Go takes place between or focuses on two teenage girls. So I wonder if, to start with, you would just describe Megan and Anna, and then we'll talk about their relationship afterwards.
Megan and Anna very much play off of each other. They're best friends, and they've been best friends basically forever. In a lot of ways, they really need each other, although I don't think either of them really realizes how fully. Perhaps Megan a little bit. Megan, a little more mousy, a little more quiet, a little more insecure. Anna, very flashy, flamboyant, but sometimes a little over the top. The two of them together are kind of an odd couple, but they find out in the end they actually really kind of need each other, although because this is a thriller, not always in a very healthy way.
Yes, yes. So we start out fairly early on with what I'll call a kind of normal teenage betrayal by Megan of Anna. Anna has really almost insisted that Megan go to a party while Anna is out of town. What happens?
Megan goes, and she feels insecure, and she feels awkward without Anna because Anna is always sort of her security blanket in social situations. She has a little bit to drink. She starts dancing, and she starts relaxing, and then Anna's boyfriend makes a pass at her. He kisses her, and Megan kisses him back, and she likes it. She feels really bad about it later, and it almost destroys their friendship.
But nevertheless, summer comes, and so Anna and Megan go off to a farm, actually. They are growing up in a suburb of Cleveland. Anna has an uncle who has a farm. Why do they go there, and what begins to happen there?
Anna has a summer job as a sort of intern on her uncle's farm. She's gone to this farm before in the summers, and she invites Megan to come with her this time and work as sort of a farmhand for the summer. And there's other young people on the farm, too, some other boys who work on the farm. When Anna picks Megan up at the start of summer just to drive her over to the farm, she tells Megan that she's fallen in love with a new boy, and his name is Jordan, and that this is really the one for her. This is the real thing. Megan supports this wholeheartedly because Anna really hasn't found love since she broke up with her boyfriend, the boy that Megan kissed. Megan supports Anna's new relationship with Jordan and is really excited for her, and then she meets him. That's when things start getting a little tricky.
Sparks fly, as they say.
That's right.
One of the interesting things about these two characters is that Anna, who has been at her uncle's farm before, really is very focused on a romance. And Megan begins to grow in another way, actually. So the uncle kind of really encourages her, takes her under his wing, and she begins working with?
She starts working with a little foal who is born soon after they arrive at the farm, and Megan and Anna are there for the foal's birth. Megan is assigned the job, just like any farm job, is to work with this little foal and socialize him. She really enjoys it, and she has a soft spot for horses, as do I. Has always loved them. So this is sort of one of these, like, every girl's fantasy who loves horses is to have a little horse of your own to be able to take care of, teach things, and see it grow. And she gets very close to this little horse. Sometimes it doesn't all turn out well in the end.
But she essentially is learning how to train
the
horse.
Yeah, she is. And she learns, and the little horse learns, and this is a really great part of her summer.
As you mentioned, this is a thriller, and so the darker side of life and people comes into this. And I'm wondering if you think in general, given the audience that you're generally writing for, do you think that that loss of innocence is a part of what one typically experiences in adolescence? Is that the time of life when it starts coming up?
Seems sort of sad or cynical to say, but I think that it actually is sort of personal. I mean, loss of innocence can, I think it does eventually happen. It could happen really at any time. Adolescence is a really tricky time trying to negotiate all of these new relationships. Emotions tend to run very high. People can get very much in love, and they can be very, very angry, and they can be very sad. It's an exciting time to remember and to think about and write about, and a lot of writers have in history have tackled young people, although it wasn't always called adolescence. But you know, Romeo and Juliet were only 13. So as a writer, it's a really fun time to try to think, like, now, what if these things happen to you when you are your most passionate time in life? It's fun to go there.
You're a little, not a lot beyond that age, but are there things you do, whether it's research or going to a certain place in yourself, that you do in relation to writing for young adults?
I do. I do some painful exercises where I force myself to look back at my own teenage archive, which is a folder of various letters and writings, journal entries that I saved over the years that are hard to look at. They're very raw. They're not always sad or angry. Some of them are, but they're very raw. You know, as an adult, you kind of drop a shield in front of yourself, but that shield's a lot thinner or not even there when you're a teenager. So revisiting those things brings it all back in a vivid way.
Do you have another book in the works?
I do. I have a couple of projects, one of which I'm not really allowed to talk about right now, but another one, I'm actually going back into the romance end of things. I'll be doing a romance this spring that'll be out in about a year. It's not titled yet. This one is a teen romance, and it also involves a girl, and this time two boys. Horses again. This time they have adventures on a ranch in Colorado.
Do you have a schedule for yourself, so to speak? I know you're a mom with young children. Do you try to do a book a year? Or
I do. I mean, I try to work as much as I can. I write as much as I can, get childcare, then I work and write. Publishing and writing is a volatile market. It's a difficult job to have, similar to being, let's say, like a working actor, where the jobs fluctuate. Sometimes people want to buy books and sometimes they don't. So as often as I can sell ideas, I try to, and then I try to write the books whenever I can.
This book is dedicated to your mom, and as I remember, she has a role in your writing career as your publicity agent, as your PR person. Yes. So that's how we first came to know you. So I want to thank her for putting us in touch with you, and thank you for being here tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks so much for having me back.
I've been talking with Emma Carlson Byrne about her latest book, Never Let You Go. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.